Glory to God. Well, how many of you were here last week? Well, before you left, or when you left, I don't know if you were here, we had just a little bit of excitement here. A couple of our cars got vandalized, and mine was one of them, and he's not here tonight, but Jonathan Gales was another one. But the thing is this, whenever something like that happens, you don't get afraid. You just stick your chest out and say, "Devil, so I got your attention now, huh? Come on with it." And it was a rough weekend, man. I had that to deal with. I had a gospel celebration at Lakewood Church to deal with. I had the prison to deal with on Saturday morning, and half the board wasn't with me, so I'm going there by myself, basically. Where were y'all at last week? You too. And what else? I felt like overwhelmed to a degree. But you know what? You stick your chest out and go, "God, we're doing something for you." Other, we got the devil mad. So it's a good thing. But we have a gentleman out there tonight kind of walking the parking lot. We're going to work on them getting the lights, more lights on out there. But again, the key thing you can do is continue to pray. Amen. Continue to bind the strong man. When you pull in that lot, before you even get here, take authority over this area. The Bible says, "Wherever your feet shall tread, that land you shall possess." Well, at that time, they walked everywhere they went. Now we drive everywhere we go. So wherever your tires shall tread, that land you shall possess. Amen. So as a review of last week, we're talking about the born again trail. Why is this so important? Because you've been born into an inheritance. Too many Christians, and I'm going to dare say 95% of all Christians, do not understand the inheritance that they have. They just don't know. If they knew it, this entire room would be packed out tonight. So we're going to review a little bit of last week, and then we're going to get into this week's teaching. Adam was created by God. Everybody agree with that?
Yes.
But Adam fell. And when Adam fell, sin entered into the world. And so therefore, after anybody else was born again, they were born with a fallen nature. And so you were born with a fallen nature. You were born estranged from God. God knew who you were, but you didn't know who God was. Now get this. Our little spirits were not created in heaven and sit here on the earth to live. You're not a spirit that was created in heaven and sent here on the earth to live. Instead, you are a result of the act of procreation. I didn't lose anybody there, did I? All right. Okay. You are an act of random flesh producing flesh. According to a law of Genesis, every seed produces after its own kind, okay? Now, when Jesus was born, Jesus did not have a natural father. Jesus was born from above. The Bible says that when Mary asked, "How is this going to happen to me since I don't know a man?" He said, "The Holy Ghost will overshadow you." Jesus was born from above. Jesus was born, or basically he was sired by God. And it was the first time in 4,000 years that a man was born with the life and the light of God on the inside of them. Now, Adam was created with that life and with that light. But because of his disobedience, that light was turned off. Now, the significance of all of this is in the book of John, and we'll get there eventually. I pray we'll get there eventually. How many of you read the book of John? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know what that's really saying? In the beginning, before there was a beginning, before anything had a beginning. Before anything had a beginning, God was. God was. And the Word was God. See, the Word was God. God separated himself. Jehovah began to separate himself from Jesus. It says Jesus was the Word. Well, Jehovah is the great God. He's the Father. Many people think that God is just one person or with multiple spirits. No. God has his own spirit. The Father, has his own spirit. Jesus has his own spirit. The Holy Ghost has his own spirit. And you have your own spirit. Okay? They're all individually separate people. When you get to heaven, don't be looking at going, well, which one is you? You ought to know. Well, how do you know? You spend time with them. See, if I want to know you, I got to spend time with you. Amen? Jesus wasn't the first to be raised from the dead, but he was the first to be quickened. What do I mean by the word quicken? What does the word quicken mean, church?
Made alive.
Quicken is speaking to your spirit, man. When Lazarus was brought from the dead, was he quickened or resurrected? He was resurrected. Why? All the Holy Ghost did was take his spirit and put it back in his body. That's all he did. But when Jesus was quickened, Jesus had to first die. He had to first be severed from God. Do you know why he was severed from God? So he could identify with us. If he didn't do that, he couldn't identify with us. I'm getting ahead of myself. If you're born again, you have two births. This is reviewing last week. We have two births. What was your first birth? Of the flesh. Now your first birth was of the flesh. Your second birth was of the spirit. Your first birth was the result of random flesh producing flesh. But your second birth, your spirit was impregnated by God. You are as much, now get this, church, you are as much of a son of God that Jesus is. Now, ladies, get over yourself. If I can be the bride of Christ, you can be a son of God. But you are as much as a son of God as Jesus is. Now, where I want to get to eventually, hopefully tonight, when Jesus was born into the earth, how much sin did he commit? Why? Because his spirit was born from above. Isn't that right? Well, wasn't your spirit born from above? Well, then how does the devil get us to sin so much? Don't shout me down now when I'm starting to preach real good. You got the same one. And we're going to find out tonight, sin has no dominion over you. The only reason why sin has dominion over you is because you give it dominion. Let's start tonight and talk about our birth into the family of God. We were born to the world spiritually dead. So Jesus had to die spiritually so that he could identify with us. Now get this. Water baptism is a symbol of being baptized into his death and resurrected out of our spiritual death, or quickened and made alive with him. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you know that Jesus was baptized? Now when you get baptized, your baptism says, when you go in that water, I am identifying with Jesus. I'm dying to an old way of life. And when I come out of that water, I'm being resurrected. I'm being quickened to a new man. Amen? So let me ask you a question. If you're baptized to identify with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, why was he baptized? You got to know this stuff, folks. You got to know this stuff. This is who you are. You have an inheritance. Why? What'd you say? His spirit was already quickened. He was already alive. He didn't have to be quickened. Now, he died, and the spirit had to quicken him from the dead, but he was already alive. Was Jesus baptized? Y'all ain't even in the airport tonight. Y'all flying around over somewhere in New York City. Here's why he was baptized. It was a vow that said, I'm going to the grave. I'm going to die spiritually so that I can be resurrected. So I can be quickened and raised from the dead. He was making a vow to his father. Okay. Now, I would almost give her the credit because she said it as an example. But frankly, what he was doing, he was making a vow to his father. I'm going to die one day. I'm making a vow to you that I'm going to die and I'm going to lay my life down. Jesus was born spiritually alive, but he became our sin so that he could become spiritually dead. Why? So that we could identify with him. Then in order for to be born again, I had to identify with his death in baptism so I could identify with him in his what? His resurrection. Did you get that now? We're talking about the born again trail. Why were you born again and what all this means? Just as God the Father or the Holy Ghost raised him from the dead, when you get born again, you too are raised from a spiritual condition called death. Now get this. You have to change your thinking. You're no longer a dead spirit. Now, let me tell you what that means. What's your nationality?
Indian.
No, it ain't. What's your nationality?
Kingdom.
No.
Heaven.
You're getting close. What's your nationality?
Jesus.
You don't have one. You don't have a you don't have a past anymore. The only past you have is Jesus. You're his son. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. You're thinking, well, all my old sin. No, he's talking about your genealogy. Quit trying to identify with your genealogy. You shouldn't be out there marching for the African Americans on Martin Luther King Day on the 28th. We should not be celebrating black history. Now, if you want to celebrate it, go and celebrate it. I ain't fussing against that. But what I'm saying is this. If listen, don't call me an African American. Don't shout me down now. I'm not an African American. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. That's my lineage. That's my lineage. That's who I am. That's what you trace me back to. When a doctor calls you in and says, did your mama have high blood pressure? Did your daddy have heart disease? Is anybody in your family tree? No, my daddy ain't got nothing like that. He's well, bless God. Oh, full of life, bless God. That's who my daddy is. Now, they get a look at you a little crazy when you start talking like that, but that's all right. Now, if spiritual death has been removed, now get this. This is what you inherited. Then all of sin's first cousins have also been removed. Now, what's sin's first cousins? There you go. Sickness, poverty, disease, lack. All of sin's first cousins, they're gone from your life. When pounding and why am I running around catching the flu this time of year? Because you want to.
Because you're catching
it. Say what?
Because you catch it.
Exactly. You're catching it. But you don't have to. Because you don't have any heritage, you don't have to have that stuff. You know, a good friend of ours at Lakewood Church just went on to be with heaven. He had some kind of cancer. Well, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but listen. Cancer has no authority over you. Don't shout me down now. If I'm dying of cancer, you'll hear me say this. Cancer has no authority over me. But pastor, you're dying. I don't change the truth.
Amen.
The power of sin has been destroyed. Sin has no dominion over me. And as a result of what Jesus did, he birthed us into the family of God. He's made us new creations, wrote our names in the Lamb Book of Life, gave you and I the power to become a son of God, gave us his nature, and immediately gave you and I an inheritance that can be brought to pass by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hello, earnest of the Spirit. Now, you've got somebody living on the inside of you that's able to bring to pass this inheritance. What is that inheritance? Sin has no dominion over me. When I ain't got time to pray, well, then sin will have occasion to have dominion over you. You're going to have to pray this inheritance out. Listen, there are a lot of Christians that walked the aisle and born again and said, I believe in Jesus. And got all kind of situations going on. Why? Because they have not been revealed the truth that sin has no dominion over me. The Holy Ghost. We talked about how many of you were here for the Walk of the Spirit, the Walk of Power session. We talked about the Holy Ghost was the down payment. He was the earnest. He was the down payment that heaven says you have a right to victory in every area of your life. The Holy Ghost's job is to bring to pass everything that you have inherited from your elder brother Jesus. For an example, If God gave Adam arms and legs and eyes, a heart, or any other part of his body, then because of your second birth, you have the right to have any part of that body that you're missing. Not only is it just missing, but to be functioning completely and whole. Now get this, as long as you got the guts to believe God for it. Now you may not have enough guts to believe God for it. But how many of you know I wear glasses? You see my glasses on? I'm still confessing I got 20/20 vision. Well, why are you doing that? Because I want 20/20 vision. Well, why don't you go and beat your glass? Why don't you go and get a hammer and beat your glasses up so that you can show us your faith? See, that's stupid. That's what gives Christians a bad name. We go out and do something like that. That doesn't make faith work. That just says you're stupid. You go, well, I'm going to quit taking my medication because if God says I'm healed, I'm healed. Well, hold up now. Did God tell you that? Did God give you a revelation that you were healed? Or did you hear somebody else say that? So you got to get a revelation of what God is saying to you.
Amen.
Just because he got Billy out of debt doesn't mean he can't get Johnny out of debt. But Billy is spending more time than Johnny is. Oh, don't shout me down now. Billy is spending time with God every day. But Johnny, he's watching television. He ain't got time to spend time with God. But when Billy gets out of debt, Johnny upset with God. God, how come I ain't out of debt? You know what God says? Depart from me. I never knew you. Don't shout me down now. He's got to know you. Oh, we're going to get real here tonight. I mean, in these sessions. It's going to get serious. If God gave Adam the ability or IQ to name all the animals, then God can give you the same thing. If God can give Pastor Joel Osteen enough knowledge to write a book that gave him millions of dollars, God can give you the same thing. Why? Your first birth wasn't equal, but your second birth. I said your second birth. Oh, you're equal. Whatever Joel Osteen has, and I'm just using him as an example, but I guess I can use whatever Ken Copeland has.
Amen.
Okay, if he's got five jets, well, if I need five jets, I can get me five jets, bless God.
Amen.
Why? God's not a respecter of persons.
Right.
He's not.
That's right.
See, it's not about your first birth when you get born again. It's about that second birth. And it's about what you do with your rights and privileges in that kingdom. If you'll be diligent and pursue him, the Holy Spirit has the power within you to bring all of your inheritance, and you cannot be stopped. You know who can stop you from receiving your inheritance? Go look in the mirror. You'll find them right away. As soon as you walk up that mirror, you. But you can't be stopped. Your inheritance is sure. The devil can't even stop you, but he can persuade you. This is the very reason why he brought a prayer language, that is the Holy Ghost, that contains all these things and would allow you to pray accurately hour after hour after hour. And you don't have time to pray. Wow. His job inside of you is to glorify Jesus by bringing you forward in all that you have inherited from the Father. In my second birth, I have been made equal. Equal to who? Jesus. Now, it's going to take a while for you to understand that. Because if you're thinking with your natural mind, you're going to call me foolish. But I'm going to call you foolish because you should be thinking with your spiritual mind.
Amen.
He calls you an heir. Now, listen. You are equal to God in his humanity. You're equal to Jesus in his humanity. But you'll never be equal to him in his deity. Do you understand the difference? So I want to get it straight for the recording itself. Someone's in, bang, great, think he God. No, I don't think I'm God. I think I'm a son of God. And I'm equal to Jesus in his humanity. But I know I reverence God in his deity. I'll never be matched to him. Never. It ain't going to happen, Captain. Okay? But everything he had, everything he granted me, every bit of my inheritance that he left behind for me, I get that. Let's talk about your second birth. In your second birth, you became a son of God, and you received this inheritance in your new nature. You receive it in your new nature. You didn't receive it in this outside realm. You receive it in this new, in your new nature. See, here's the problem with most Christians. You're trying to change your outward circumstances because you think God owes you something. Wrong. You change your circumstances because on the inside, God is changing you there first. And when you change there first, then guess what? The kingdom of God begins to materialize through you. Amen. But you don't go out and change it. You don't go out and change it. You allow the kingdom of God in you as you spend time with the Holy Spirit to change your outward circumstances. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the earnest of your inheritance. In other words, he's the power, he's the down payment to receive everything that heaven says you have a right to. If you have cancer, heaven says you have a right to what? If you're missing a leg, heaven says what? You have a right to have another leg. Now, for some of you, that sounds strange. For some of you, that sounds strange. I remember R.W. Schombach one time. This was his testimony. He says, Brother Allen was praying for this child that had no eyes. And he said, he asked the crowd to begin to pray. He says, I ain't praying. I'm fitting to watch this. So he got there on the front row. And he took that baby and he began to pray in the spirit. And he said, all of a sudden, that baby's eyes, those sockets where they begin to open up. And what should have been eyes, it was kind of a milky brown swirl to it. And he said, before we knew it, that baby was bringing us into focus as he began to see for the first time. If you got the power to believe for it, God can bring it to you. Where do you get the power from? It's on the inside of you. Well, how do you release that power? We say this statement all the time. Now unto him that's able to do above and beyond all that we could ever ask or think, Pastor. And then you stop right there. That verse doesn't stop there. It says according to the power that works within you. Now, if it says according to the power, then there must be some power. Some people must have more power. Some people must have a low power. But does that mean you have some people have more power available to them, or they just have less power? We all have the same amount of power available to us.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? But the problem is it all ain't flowing out of us in the same magnitude. Well, how do we change that? Spend some time with him. Again, if God gave Adam the IQ to name all the animals, he can give it to you too. Here's the difference. You got to just have the tenacity to hang in there until it comes. Whatever you believe in God for, don't think God didn't answer your prayer. Your prayers were answered immediately. Somebody they asked me, said, Pastor, I've been praying for this and I haven't seen materialized yet. Is God mad at me? No. Since God sent Jesus to the cross, he's not mad at you. Well, is there something I'm not doing? Well, yeah, there is. It's called faith and patience. You've got to be patient. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? It means you've got to believe God. It means you've got to stay in faith. The Bible says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, what? Believe. Do you believe after you pray? Do you believe when you see it? Or do you believe the moment you pray? Then if you believe the moment you pray, why would you come to me and say, I never received it? Huh? Why would you tell me you didn't receive it if you said you believed when you prayed? But Pastor, I didn't get the physical possession. Got nothing to do with God. That's your problem. He's already answered the prayer. Do you remember when Daniel prayed the first time? The Bible says his prayer was answered immediately. The angel was dispatched immediately with his answer. But the second time he prayed, it took 3 weeks for the angel to get to Daniel. Why? He says a messenger of Satan, he said, or not a messenger, but a prince withstood me. Mm-hmm. Every time you pray, ladies and gentlemen, God answers your prayer. Here's the question. Do you have enough guts to hang in there until the answer shows up? Amen. In my second birth, my spirit was impregnated by God. I am his son. If I would be diligent to pursue him, the Holy Spirit has the power I need to bring all to pass, all my inheritance to pass, and I cannot be stopped. My inheritance is not by works, but by grace. Quit trying to work for your inheritance. It's by grace. This is the very reason, because it's by grace, this is the very reason he brought prayer, a prayer language that contains all of these things. And if we will allow him to pray accurately hour after hour inside of us, we'll begin to see these things come to pass. But here's the first problem. The first challenge. You got a lot of flesh that got to be moved out of the way. Amen. Some of us got 42 metric tons of flesh. Some of us got 1,000 metric tons of flesh. Do you realize every time you get mad and get upset and you get in the flesh, you know what you're doing? You just add more flesh to already flesh you got. You may have prayed for 5 hours a day and removed a whole bunch of flesh. But the moment you get mad at somebody, the moment you got to talk smart to somebody, the moment you got to get upset with somebody, you just add more flesh on. And you're wondering, why am I not getting anywhere? Because you keep adding flesh. There's an old saying in this country or in the world. When you find yourself in a hole, put the shovel down and quit digging. I'm just telling most of you, quit digging. You got enough flesh. Our first transformation. Now, if you have your Bibles, go over quickly to Romans 6:14. I mentioned this earlier. What does 6:14 say? This is something as a born-again child of God. This is the first thing you have to get transformed to. If you don't get transformed to this, you're going to have a problem every day you're in the kingdom. Because you're going to wonder why God's not answering your prayers. This is an absolute. This is not something that can be, that's optional. This is absolute. What does Romans 6:14 say? Why does sin not have dominion over me? Because I am no longer under the law. Who was under the law? The Jews were under the law. I'm no longer under the law. What am I under?
Grace.
But sin has no dominion over me. Well, let me say it to bring it on home to you a little bit clearer. All of sin's first cousins have no dominion over you. Now, get that as an absolute. Sickness and disease has no dominion over you. Sin has no dominion over you. Poverty has no dominion over you. Anger has no dominion over you. Division and strife has no dominion over you. All of these things have no dominion over you. Now, this is why you know that Jesus walked the earth for 30 years and did not sin. Why? Because sin had no dominion over him. It had no dominion over him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Since you've been born again, you don't have to sin. Yeah, but they may be mad. You gave in. Mm-hmm. You don't have to sin. Whatever it is, hey, when I go back, if my sin's eating too much candy, I don't have to sin. The Bible says in the book of James, when I sin, what's happening? I am drawn away by my own what? Lustful desires. God's not testing me. Actually, the devil is just simply trying to persuade me of what I should be doing. But sin has no dominion over me. Now go over to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Here the Apostle Paul tells us not to be conformed to the world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Why? Because now we are no longer under the law, but we're under grace. You must be transformed to this fact. Sin has no dominion over you. So when you call me up and say, Pastor Craig, I'm going through this, and I don't think I can make it. What do you think I'm going to tell you? That's all I'm going to tell you. That's all I'm going to tell you. I had a guy call me today. He says, man, I got OCD. I said, sin has no dominion over you. No, but I got to have all the symptoms. I said, are you born again? Yes, I am. Sin has no dominion over you. Now, I'm not being insensitive if you have OCD in this room. What I am trying to challenge you is this. Why don't you rise your standards a little bit higher and realize you're a born-again child of God? Amen. When we pray tonight, we don't pray, oh God, if it be thy will, would you take this sickness and disease off of them? Ha! That ain't how we pray. We say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Amen. Sickness, go. Healing, come. Why? Jesus has already paid for it. Amen. Amen. Now, go over to Romans chapter 8. Now, how many have ever heard the word therefore? What is Romans chapter 8? What does it begin with? There is therefore now. What is the therefore, therefore?
Means that according to what I just said.
Look at Romans 8:26. You're in that same chapter. What does it say? What does it start out with?
Likewise.
Why is it therefore there? And why is it likewise? What's it saying? You know what those two verses are referring to? Those two words are referring to therefore and likewise? You know what he's referring to? Your new nature. Why? Because sin has no dominion over you. Therefore, there is no more condemnation. Why? Condemnation has no dominion over you. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. What's the likewise? Your new nature. The Holy Ghost comes together with your new nature and helps you overcome your infirmities. Your flesh, I'll say it like that. Your unrenewed mind, I'll say it like that. These phrases are indicating, in essence, this is the end product. The new nature has absolute victory over all of the sin in your life. You have absolute victory just in your new nature over all of the sin in your life. Therefore, there is no more condemnation because of your new nature. Likewise, your new nature has the innate ability to defeat all sin. If you're going to walk in the victory of God, then it is absolutely necessary that you be totally transformed to this fact that sin has been totally defeated, no matter who falls or what may tempt you. I don't care what you face tomorrow. When I walked outside and I had a busted out window, he was God before the window got busted. He was God after the window got busted. When I realized the window was knocked out, I said this: God, forgive him. God, I forgive him. As an act of my will, I forgive them. Why? I'm not giving a broken window dominion over me. Amen. Don't shout me down now. I'm not giving something dominion over me. And I could have went out there and went, oh, man, why my truck got to be a window? Oh, God, my truck. I love my truck. Oh, my window. That's how you carry on sometimes. Don't shout me down now. God, my husband, he's out there in the street doing the funky chicken or whatever they do now. He's doing the worm. He's doing all this stuff. God, what are you doing? You're giving your husband dominion over you. Amen. Don't shout me down now. Amen. Don't shout me down. Yes. If he was God before the problem, he's God during the problem, and he's God after the problem. Sin has no dominion over you. You cannot be defeated. Mm-hmm. Now, this is your posture. This is how you got to act when you face these things. Amen? Amen? It's important that you know that everything that your new birth has set you free from, that you know you are free from. To truly walk out the born-again experience, these things must become absolutes in your life. To walk out the victory that Jesus purchased for you on the cross, you must know that he has totally set you free. You have been totally set free. Amen. And not only set free from sin, but all of sin's first cousins. And what are sin's first cousins? Does anybody know anybody suffering from depression? I do. Anybody know that suffering from anxiety? I do. Okay? Does anybody know anybody that's suffering from cancer? I do. These things have all been defeated. In other words, when I say, does anybody need prayer? I don't care what you call out. I don't care what you say you got. It has to bow its knee. Why? Sin has no dominion. Amen. Sickness and disease is the result of sin. I guarantee you, in the portals of heaven, there was no record of sin in the earth until Adam sinned first. None. Now, there was a tempter named named Diablo. He was here in the earth. But sin didn't exist. Sickness and disease did not exist until Adam fell. Poverty, lack. God took care of Adam before he fell. Listen, when you get to heaven, there won't be anything that you'll want. Nothing. One day I want to preach on heaven. You don't understand the kind of place heaven is. But now I don't want to preach on heaven to sell you to go in there. You got to decide you want to go, not because you want to go up there and be fed and taken care of and laid back and kicked back. No, you got to want to go because you want to be with him.
Amen.
That's why you want to go to heaven. Amen. Not because you can go up there and have everything done for you. If you've been born again, these things have no legal right to exist in you. It is the job of the Holy Ghost to use your new nature to transform you to the fact that these things have no dominion over you. I read it kind of fast, but remember what I said was this. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to transform you to the fact that sin has no dominion over you. You cannot do this by thinking about it. You cannot gain this by simply reading it, those verses. You've got to have it revealed to you. You know how it's revealed to you? Kreno brasta branem koreka. Breno kota kasa kreno no no munkadaha. Grese kreno kota. And I spent hours after hours after hours praying that way. And all of a sudden, one day, I began to realize sin has no dominion over me.
Amen.
So I walk out to my truck on a Thursday night, and the window's knocked out. I called the insurance company, and they can't get to my truck for 2 days. Sin has no dominion over me. I wake up Saturday morning at 5 o'clock, and I'm like, woo, because I got home the night before at midnight. Sin has no dominion over me. I'm tired. Sin has no dominion over me. Come on, somebody. See, you gotta place this where your tough times are. I'm trying to tell you what I'm going through so you can realize, yeah, you're going through stuff too, but sin has no dominion over you. That's how you gotta walk. Because I guarantee you this, if the devil knows he's got dominion over you in an area, he's going to keep jerking your chain that area until you tell him to stop.
Amen.
Anthony, is he out of the hospital? He's coming out soon. Now, when I say things like sin has no dominion over you and you must be transformed from these things, I'm not trying to condemn you. What I'm boldly declaring to you that you have got to get this settled within you. This is why you're not being victorious in every area of your life. You have got to get these things settled. You've got to understand that you have dominion over it. It doesn't have dominion over you. When that window was broken at nighttime before, maybe 10 years ago, I would have woken up every 2 or 3 hours and went out to go, is anybody bothering my truck? Anybody in my truck? Is it okay? I slept the whole night, didn't get much sleep, didn't care who got in that thing. I drove it to the concert and left it in the parking lot with the window down. And it was out there for 8 or 9 hours. And then I heard this, you better go check your truck. Sin has no dominion over me. What I said. Got no dominion over me. When I went out to the truck at midnight or 11:30, guess what? All is well. Why? Sin has no dominion over me. Don't shout me down now. You've got to get this. This ain't easy to do. You don't do this because you go, well, I've been going to the Dominion Training Center, and I don't think it's that difficult. You wait until it happens to you, and all of a sudden you're going, what did he say? Sin's something about dominion, and you can't remember it. Why? Because the devil has blinded your eyes. He's blinded your understanding. You can't remember what to say. If you just can't walk up there and go, it has no dominion over me, and turn around and walk off, then you ain't there yet. What does that mean? Continue to pray in them other tongues until you get there. Well, how long is it going to take? Well, let me ask you another question. Are you going to quit adding flesh? If you're going to quit digging up flesh, it may not take that long. But if you keep melting down at every situation, it's going to take a little bit longer. See, the first thing you got to realize is this. Shut your mouth.
Amen.
Learn the vocabulary of silence. Shut up. You see, calamity, just go, sin has no dominion. And you keep praying until you can act like that. Your boss gets all over you about something. You don't sit in front of him now. But as you leave his office, you go, sin has no dominion over me. I'll break the power of it right now. It has no dominion over me. If we would learn to live that way, church, we would be running right here and talking about, I wonder if we can get our guy in the White House. I wonder why we no longer a Christian nation. I wonder why we are aborting so many babies. I wonder why we got so much stuff on television shouldn't be on there. Because sin has dominion over the church. Don't shout me down now. Don't shout me down. We should be pointing at that thing and go, sin has no dominion over us. Click. You quit watching that mess, they'll quit putting it on television. You keep watching it, they're going to keep making it. Let me go on. So what does it mean when I live after the flesh? It's when you agree with sickness, poverty, anger, and everything else. When you continue to live like that, you're agreeing with the flesh. Mm-hmm. But the day you take your stand and you said, I am not going to get mad today. I'm not going to lose my cool. I don't care how much traffic is in the way. Amen. You know, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to sin. This has no dominion over me. Now, folks, this is revolutionary stuff. It'll change your life. Amen. I'm going to end tonight by talking about Jacob's ladder. How many of you know who Jacob's ladder is?
Dream.
It was a dream that Jacob had. Yeah. And what Jacob saw was a ladder that started from the earth and went all the way up to heaven. And what did he see going up and down? Angels. Well, let me give you the New Testament version of that. Jesus is that ladder. Jesus is that ladder. Are you hearing me now? Jesus is that ladder. We are called to be messengers, sons of God, who ascend on him into the heavenly realm. The rungs on this ladder are the progressive revelations of fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost, who Jesus is. In other words, the more revelation you get, you go up one another rung on that ladder. First, you see him as your Savior. That's a good one. You got the first one down good, baby. But now you got to go to a second one. You got to see him as what? As Lord. That's another one you go. What's the next one? Healer. Why? Sin has no dominion over you. What's the next one? You got to see him as King. Oh, that's another one you go up. Because why? Sin has no dominion over you. What's the next one? I'm a son of God. Oh, looky here now, somebody. You got to go higher and see. Now, let me tell you something. You got to keep going higher and higher and higher to get revelation to him. Now here's where most Christians stop. You think because you're going through a test and a trial, he quit teaching you. Uh-uh. He's probably teaching you the most while you're in that test and trial. He's trying to get you to listen. Why? Now I'm saying this in a geographical location. I ain't cussing. But when all hell breaks loose in your life, you got to keep your eyes on him. Why? If you keep your eyes on the circumstances, it drags you over into the flesh, and sin now has dominion over you. But if you drag the thing over into the spirit and stay in the realm of the spirit, what do I mean by the realm of the spirit? Huh? What do I mean by that? Well, you tell me what you think it means. That'll work too. That works for me too. I got to walk in love. Got to walk in joy. Got to walk in peace. Got to walk in forgiveness. Got to walk in all the fruit. I got to forgive. When I want to bash him beside the head, I got to forgive. When my neighbor does something wrong and harms my property, I got to forgive. When the doctor has an accident and takes out the wrong body part, I'm just getting out where you live. You got to forgive. I'm just going to sue them. You're back in the flesh. You're in the flesh. Well, you mean we can't sue? Not according to the Apostle Paul. No. You know why you shouldn't sue somebody? You want to keep the door of salvation open to them. Because when you sue someone, what you're saying is, the only way I can get God to supply my needs if I take them to court. You, where are you? You're in the flesh. But if you go, listen, listen now. See, this verse is only used during offering time. But if I give, it shall be given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If I'll let this go and say, God, look at my heart. Sin has no dominion over me. I'm going to love this person even though I feel like just knock them into the next county. But I'm going to love them. Why? Sin has no dominion over me. Now I'm getting a greater revelation who Jesus is. Now I'm going higher and higher and higher up that ladder, and I'm getting a revelation that he's not just my Savior, but he's King. He's my prince. He's all those things I need him to be. Why? I'm getting a greater revelation of who he is. I'm spending time with him. But you can't get these things. You can't get this kind of revelation by just reading your Bible and going to church and having your screensaver to say, thou art well, O son, or whatever favorite verse you have, or having some kind of Christian ringtone on your telephone. That won't do it. What you're going to have to do is get these things in your heart, let them connect with your mind, and all of a sudden you'll quit walking according to the dictates of the flesh. And you'll walk to the dictates of the Spirit. Amen? But that's what it means to have sin has no dominion over you. God wants you to have a greater revelation of who he is. He won't show him as healer, as provider, as Lord, as your elder brother, as all those things. But you got to spend time so he can reveal himself to you. But the church nowadays is just too busy to do that. We can't be that busy any longer, folks. We got to spend time. Why? We're going to learn in these last days, those of us that understand, sin has no dominion over us. Why? Because now that the election is over in the country, guess what? People are going to start quick to pray. They already started quit praying. Folks, we should be praying more now than we've ever prayed before. But see, you know what? When you're praying at home, you don't have a band watching you. You ain't got your neighbor going, woo, you pray. Oh, sister, oh, go, girl. You got it going on. You pray. Nobody is there but you and the Holy Ghost. So you don't have any people encouraging you to do it. You know what also what praying in tongues does? It'll develop your character. It'll help your character. Then you'll be able to look the devil in the face and say, I said no. You'll not have my grandbaby. You'll not have them. You'll not have my grandchildren. You'll not have my great-grandchildren. You'll not have my nieces. You'll not have my nephews. You won't have them. I'm claiming them for God right now. Amen. When you walk like that, people will begin to wonder, how did you do that? You know what you can tell them? It's real simple. Sin has no dominion over me. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The born again trail, you've inherited some things. The one thing that you've inherited, that sin has no dominion over you. Now begin to pray. And quit calling your neighbor, quit calling your girlfriend, quit calling your whoever, and going, do you know what the devil did to me last night? You know what you're doing? You're walking according to the flesh, and you're saying, sin has dominion over me. But Pastor, I just can't seem to shake this thing. Which is it? Does sin have dominion over you, or does sin not have dominion over you? You decide. Jesus has already gone through the cross. He's done his thing. It's now time for you to pick up your cross every day. And part of that cross is loving those that are unlovable. Don't shove it down now. There are some people, I just want to go and just knock them into next week. But that means sin has dominion over me. Well, I'm just being frank with you. You don't look at me so holy. You do the same thing. You just ain't up here preaching tonight, that's all. But you got the same desires. You got to get it purged too. Okay? All right? Amen. Yes, ma'am.
You have a car accident here, right?
I did.
You were praying and everything. And
I was
home thinking about you. 11 o'clock, I woke up. I said, oh, my God, he may be still in the parking lot.
We were. We ain't leaving till midnight. But that's okay. Why? Sin has no dominion over me. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. Huh?
I was worried about
why?
I don't know.
Don't be worried about... Well, see, that's the flesh. Don't be worried. If you're going to do anything, say, God, give him peace. God, I thank you for great peace on Pastor Craig. God, I thank you. He's surrounded with angels. Thank you, the Holy Ghost is all with him right now. Begin to pray that way. Don't waste your time worrying about me. Pray. Amen. Don't waste your time doing something in the flesh. Do something in the spirit. What am I looking at? Romans 6, 14. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves? Oh, man, you are slaves to the one you obey. Oh, yeah, that's why you shouldn't sin. He's reading Romans 6, 14, which says who you give your members to, that is the person that you are submitted to or who you obey. And as an African-American, I know about slavery. But I always say it this way. There are many Christians on the plantation. You're on the plantation. The plantation of anger, strife, division. You're trying to be superior to everybody else. Listen, child of God, you're no better than any other Christian. Now, let me tell you this. You're no worse either than any other Christian. And you ought to quit comparing yourself to other people. Okay? Remember, whatever God will do for Kenneth Copeland, he's obligated to do for you. He had to believe God. God didn't say, Kenneth, you look so pretty and handsome. I just want to bless you. No, he didn't do that. Brother Copeland got in there and believed God. What you see Brother Copeland walking in is a result of his faith. Well, let me put it like this. The result of him saying sin has no dominion over me. That's what it is. He's walking in his inheritance. Amen?